Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Great, we ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Go on. Before I tell you, even before we get into the podcast, JB, why don't you play your new sound effect that you've been thinking of all week?
No, it's a surprise for later.
Right. We'll play the other one then. Play the theme tune. Hands in. Pod on three. 1, 2, 3. Pod. Well, what a week of windswept, rain-flooded rugby we've had this weekend. There's loads of stories off the field to talk about and get our teeth into, loads on the field as well. We will wrap up all of it in the usual podcast-sized form, which you can listen to on iTunes, on Acast. Subscribe on iTunes, by the way. And please, we don't ask for much, but what I will ask, I'll just put it out there and I'll say, if you have enjoyed the podcast or do enjoy the podcast, there we go, music's back, JB.
Oh, sorry.
If you enjoy the bits where, you stopped it completely, that's fine. If you enjoy the podcast, if you could take a moment just to chuck a little review and a rating up there, it really helps and we really appreciate it. So
yeah, or send us some cakes.
That too. It's about time for some of that wonderful Stollen that we
exactly
enjoyed.
Right.
We
wonderful
enjoyed this time last year. So JB is here.
Hello, Tim.
Philip is here.
Hi, Tim.
And I'm Tim. Hello. Right, at Rugby Podcast, you can find us on Twitter as well. Actually, do you know what? Pass me that lead, JB, so I can play a little sound effect.
Okay, here's the lead.
Thank you. Pass me that lead. Sorry. We're in the rugby dungeon, and I'm just going to play a bit of music as an accompaniment for what I want to just kick off with before we get into the rugby and stuff. There we go. Right, so in recent weeks, we have been moaning about, we've been talking about and passionately complaining about the gradual slide from rugby towards football. Fair?
Yes.
Fair. Yes.
Players
fair
appealing, players diving, and all the rest of it. Get this from Donnacha O'Callaghan. I'm just going to read from Worcester Warriors Donnacha O'Callaghan, who said that it's up to the veteran stars like himself to stamp it out. How good is it to hear this bit of music without what's her name, Paloma Faith all over it?
Oh, is that what you're playing?
Yeah. So this is Donnacha O'Callaghan. There's a big onus on a few of us older guys because the game's changing and there are traditions that need to be upheld. It's awful to say, but the professional game of rugby more and more is going down the route of soccer. Sorry, should I stop this accent?
That's great. Carry on. Crack on.
I know players need to be protected in the air, but we don't need fellas rolling around on the floor like fruit. And then he says, if you take a knock, it's simple. If you take a knock or someone takes your head off, you get up and you get on with it.
Oh,
we need
God
to preserve the sportsmanship that made us all take up the game and the reason why we love the game.
Imagine if I had said that, you'd have both gone mental.
No, I'd have been like, I'm completely with you. I'm saying Donnacha O'Callaghan is joining our call for the game to stop the slide towards football. What do you make of his words there?
I think I said them last week, almost verbatim, did I not? Yeah, just man up. I've now come to, there's a difference between naughty and bad, and I'm okay with naughty.
I will point out, however, just to level things up slightly, that Donnacha O'Callaghan in the Worcester game over the weekend did run about 50 yards to have a moan at the ref and say, go back to the TMO and look
exactly
at that tackle.
Exactly.
So there's swings and roundabouts. Ugh. Anyway, I just wanted to start off on a positive. Well, I say positive, like
an interesting note.
What would you say is the big story of the week?
The weather. The weather was the big story of the week because it affected everything. It affected everything from the game on Friday night to my game in Preston, which was like, I mean, I'm not saying the sun was similar, but there was, you know,
the dead ball line in the Tigers Bath match today.
Wow.
What the hell? Have they been farming potatoes in the dead ball area?
It was, yeah, there's that strip of ground in front of the new stand that they're building.
Why is that?
If they were going to, I don't know.
Is it because they're building a new stand?
It must be.
Yeah, it's So it was the old clubhouse, and they're now building a brand new stand, like weird slope shape of
it. Yeah, why? I don't understand that shape of it either.
Well, I had a good look at it today, and it's clearly they're setting it up for loads of corporate stuff.
Oh, good.
Good.
Which is where a load of money is. And it was the clubhouse, so they need a bit of entertaining space anyway. So it's a great ground. I love going to traditional rugby grounds. We went there last year to watch Leicester Ulster.
Never been.
Yeah, I've been a few times to Welford Road. Really enjoy it.
I love it.
My favourite thing is how diligent the crowd are shushing anyone when the kicker's kicking. Yeah. I know I've told this story before, but when we were there last year, and every time the kicker was on, the whole crowd, shh, shh. And then halfway through the game, someone went past on a motorbike, a loud motorbike, and the crowd, shh, shh.
Yeah, I noticed the crowd in the Gloucester game. Gloucester versus, who were they playing?
Saints.
They were very quiet during the kicks. Mm. And it just kind of occurred to me when they were being really quiet. I think Milo was stepping up for a kick because it's the Gordons. Is that really what you want? In fact, I think that might put me off more. If it's just a raucous noise. But if 15,000 people go deadly silent, yeah, like they're watching you.
Manu Tuilagi to Worcester for £750,000 in his first year. £1.6 million over 3 years is the rumoured deal.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
That's some serious dough.
Well, for someone who's never going to play.
And also for someone who isn't a marquee player. Because you've got to come from outside the league.
Correct.
League to be a marquee player.
That's a very good point.
So they've got to have that free within the salary cap.
You get any kind of academy... No, you wouldn't get academy credits, but like England credits or something.
You would get a bit back. So if you're not... Just in case you're not familiar, you're allowed to have players whose wages fall outside of the legal salary cap if they are brought in from outside of the Premiership.
Rugby is following football too much in that they just want to keep the best players and spend whatever it is to keep the right names and all the rest of it. But actually, from salary cap point of view, if you've only got a finite amount of resource, front row, halfbacks, I can see money being spent there.
Well, from that point of view, would Leicester Tigers actually be better off if they said, thanks for all your... or had said in the past, thanks for all your service, Tom Croft, good luck. And the same to Manu Tuilagi, good luck. We'll take our chances. And it's looking more and more like Manu Tuilagi's got some... serious problems that like Johnny Wilkinson had. Maybe he needs to go to Toulon or something like that and just fix himself for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Go to France.
Yeah, south of France. Nice.
Work for Juan Smith and Wilkinson.
Rest and recuperation. It's with Croft, it's easy to say with hindsight because he spent so long out, but he never had an individual injury that was more than, say, 8-12 weeks, I don't think. But it was just the culmination.
Oh, no, he did. His neck.
That wasn't... They weren't too bad. As in, he never spent 2 years just because of one injury. But it was compound injuries.
Yeah, but again, touch wood, he's had a decent run of it as Tom Croft.
Yeah.
But Tuilagi, I put this question to Richard Cockerell when I was at the game working for BT Sport.
And I just say, what a wonderful job you did, too.
Oh, thank you very much, JP. I appreciate that.
You did, though, at one point, ask a South African blindside flanker if he enjoyed the physicality.
Zimbabwe,
South African. Yeah. And I'm guessing the answer would be yes. I mean, I don't know.
Mike Williams got the man of the match, so I did say.
I don't know.
You seem to really enjoy the physicality. Yeah, that's like a given. Yeah, I enjoy breathing and staying alive. I enjoy putting in some big hits. No, so I put the question to Richard Cockerell. I said, Manu Tuilagi's played 14 times in 2.5 years, and you've stood by him. He's had off-field problems, and you've stood by him. How hurt would you be if he left? And he didn't really answer the question dead on. He did, he played it with a very straight bat. But that's the question I'd be thinking. Like,
did you see it in his eyes?
I suppose ultimately there is no loyalty because...
No, of course not. It's sport.
It's sport and it's a finite career and it's money and it's business and it's all the rest of it.
Do you want to tell the listeners about the situation Manu finds himself in and how he has found himself in this situation? Or shall I do it? I've got a wonderful fact for you, Tim.
All right, well, I'll start the ball rolling. So, we're hearing that possibly the reason this set of circumstances has come about is because Freddie Tuilagi, the eldest of the mm-hmm. Tuilagi brothers, is the agent for the other Tuilagis, basically, including Manu. I believe I'm right in saying that the sort of Samoan culture is that the elder, the sibling, the more kind of respect and gravitas and mm-hmm. influence they have. I think that's right.
So basically, Freddie's the agent, okay? Now, I've heard lots of Freddie-related stories recently because I've been digging around trying to find out what's what. But this is the most interesting one that I've found. Freddie's an official registered agent, and he's got a company. Now, the company is called something. Now, Phil knows the answer to this.
I hate to spoil it for you. You won't spoil it for everyone else. Phil might have mentioned this. Before the podcast.
We were just chatting.
Oh, you idiot.
We were just chatting before the podcast.
Oh, I wanted Tim to answer. Yeah, so
I did laugh a lot when Phil told me.
So his company is called Global Bro Sports.
It's still funny now.
Bro Sports. I love it. It's so right on so many levels, isn't it?
It is. And do you know what else? Can you pass me the lead again? Because I thought of something. This just reminded me of...
I know exactly where you're going here.
Where am I going?
You're
going
to go with... That Will Ferrell film, yeah?
Exactly. How did you know that?
Because it's worldwide. Because I thought it was worldwide bro sport.
So worldwide bro sports. What a name. No, it just reminded me of. It's like the rugby agent equivalent of Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly in Step Brothers.
That's a one.
And the company they come up with.
Prestige. Worldwide. Prestige worldwide. The first word in entertainment. Management.
I can't believe it.
Computers. Black leather gloves. Research and development. Putting in the man hours to study the science of what you need.
Yep.
Last week, we put liquid paper on a bee. And it died.
Security.
Security.
And.
Investors.
Possibly you.
Athletes, possibly you.
Prestige Worldwide is made up.
Prestige Worldwide.
What was it? International Bro Sports.
Global Bro Sports. If we wanted to get a few hits on YouTube, we might have to do a YouTube 30-second pitch for Global Bro Sports. Call it Worldwide Bro Sports so we don't get sued.
Let's just forget about club loyalties and things like that. Would it be the best thing for Manu Tuilagi? Would it be the best thing for England if he moved on somewhere else, whether that be Worcester or elsewhere?
Well, I don't even think we can talk about Manu Tuilagi at the moment in terms of England because he's not played for so long. So we need to get him back fit before we have any idea if, you know, there's any national consideration. In terms of moving, if someone wants to pay him $400k, more fool them, because you've got 14 games in 2 years, and Leicester should simply just let him go. If he wants to go, let him go.
Potentially world class.
Yeah, he's been world class before. To me, it depends on the extent of the injury. We spoke about it before, and they talk about it as his groin, the muscle in his groin shearing away from the bone, which I've said it before. And a lot of injuries are mechanically simple, like putting a screw into a joint, screw into a shoulder joint, that kind of thing to hold it in place. That does not sound like he's got a mechanically simple solution to it.
Screws?
Is that just his legs are so strong that it's just pulling, the muscle is pulling the tendon away from the...
Sounds like some bro science there, Tim.
Yeah, some global bro science.
Global bro science. Now, I'd let him go. I'd let him go because 400,000 could get you basically 10 academy players. This is going to sound like one of those charity adverts, like for $400,000 a year, you could employ such and such. 3 or 4 good senior squad players. I don't see why you would spend the money.
It's the potential, isn't it? Because he is a world-class game changer.
Not for that amount of money.
Tumu at 12 and Tuilagi at 13. Yeah. Wow. What a combo that could be.
And if he is worth that money, you're going to lose him for internationals anyway.
Oh, it might be time to use your sound effect, your new sound effect, Jay. Get ready with your new sound effect. Get ready. Jay's been so excited about the podcast this week from this point of view. So, we know one club who are definitely going to be without the services of a player. Saracens.
Thank you very much.
You're very proud of... Please with yourself.
Very proud of myself.
The Transformers
right
noise, because JB refers to them as the Borg. Saracen's going to be without Sir Charlie, JB. You're going to have lost Andy Good and Sir Charlie, two of your favourites, within a year. I bet you're watching the health of Miles Benjamin really carefully.
I actually looked up the health of Miles Benjamin today, actually, because he wasn't on the bench.
Yeah, he's not been on the bench at all this year, has he?
Yeah, it's not been a good year for
old Miles.
Yeah, for old Miles.
Missing out on the Six Nations squad in February.
I think he'll be ready for Six Nations, though.
11 weeks off.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
You'll be absolutely fine. Losing Sir Charlie, devastating.
Yeah, that is. And as he's just taken the crown as the biggest point scorer ever in the Aviva Premiership.
Did he take that off? Andy Good.
Andy Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Did he get that today? Yesterday.
Was it yesterday? Anyway, he's got it. Yes, I think he got that milestone. So let's start with Saracens in our roundup of some of the games.
Okay. Got.
And what? It's hard to look past them at this moment. If you picked it, I don't know anyone. If you were picking a winner right now today, that wouldn't go with Saracens. Really.
Agreed.
Yeah. Saracens for me.
It's like two basic groups. There's Saracens and there's everyone else. They are a league above. And I'm trying to think. Actually, if I was going to pick a final, I'd say Saracens and Wasps. For two completely different, completely different reasons. But like Bath look out of sorts, Northampton look out of sorts. They're all just a bit.
Bath
a bit
and Northampton off. Do, but Leicester are looking good. Quins and Exeter are also looking really good, and obviously Wasps. I mean, if you're going to pick the top four today, I would say Saracens, I'd probably say Wasps in second, and then Leicester-Exeter maybe.
Yeah.
And Bath, Harlequins and Northampton all miss out.
Wow. This might be the best year yet, especially with the competitiveness that they'll be at the bottom of the table as well.
Yeah.
So there's one thing as well that we should probably bring up. So we've been talking for quite a while, and JB spotted it. When Owen Farrell of Saracens lines up for a kick, it's been a bit of a joke of ours that the way he does his little sideways look.
I think it might be Phil who spotted this.
It was you, Phil. The little sneaky look he does where he just moves his head sideways, like robotically, left, right, looking at the post. We've sort of said it's like he's doing a laser scan. And we've said, go back and listen to the podcast. We've said this a bunch of times. And then what did you spot this week, JB?
Well, the excellent people at BT Sport released an advert with excellent production volume of Owen Farrell doing just that in Terminator style.
So we're not accusing anyone because there's no such thing as an original idea, really. But
exactly right.
It could well have been JB's mind or Phil's mind onto.
It was Phil's brilliant mind.
So we're just calling out that person at BT. Come on, give us the props. You could just put a little just put a little credit at the end of that.
Egg
Chasers TM. That's all we're asking for. Maro Itoje as well. The real deal, growing with every game.
That whole pack. I mean, the number of changes that Saracens team has made is virtually a full strength second team.
Yeah.
And they were so comfortable throughout the game, so comfortable up front, so comfortable out wide. I mean, Ben Spencer comes in at nine, hardly played all season. He's a young lad behind Wigglesworth and De Kock at the moment in the pecking order.
And am I right? He's played a lot of rugby at fullback as well.
That's Ben.
Ben
Ransom.
That's Ben Ransom. Yeah.
Who Phil's played against?
Yeah, a couple of times, Ben Ransom. And I played against Ben Spencer.
Have you?
He was at Cambridge for a year, yeah. He looks very good, Ben Spencer. Good all-round game. His kicking game, he's obviously learnt a lot from Wigglesworth and De Kock. But he's got pace, he's strong, his distribution's good. Just an intelligent player. So it's, looking very, very good for Saracens.
I didn't see any of this game.
Ashton as well. Ashton looking very good. And Skalk Britz's feet. He's set up Ashton for, I think, Ashton's second try. His feet, he's like a winger, like a fullback, stepping, breaking the line, accelerating past people, and then offloading for the try. It's brilliant.
They're one of those teams, you could see Saracens potentially in a year's time, everyone just being fed up with how good they are.
I'm already fed up with how good they are. I mean, I admire it tremendously.
Yeah.
But they just grind people into the ground. There's no real star power there. You don't pick up the teams and go, oh, I can't wait to watch Ben Ransom and Ben Spencer play. Which, I'd be wrong to say that because they're both actually very, very exciting players. They're just mechanical, aren't they?
On this form, I don't know who's going to beat them first. They might come unstuck away against Leicester, someone like that, or
that Six Nations period you mentioned, 11 weeks away. That, because every weekend, rather than LV Cup this year, every weekend's going to be Premiership.
But that team that they put out today,
they wouldn't lose a player.
They would hardly lose a player. George Cruis might be on the bench for England. Ashton on his current form, and Owen Farrell, but he was on the bench yesterday, so they don't even need Owen Farrell.
It is scary. And then I think we should go from them to Wasps, because they're kind of the other team that are really, really stepping up this season. Obviously the Toulon match, but backing it up, and Nathan Hughes.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes you watch games and kind of one of half a dozen players could be man of the match and no one stands out. He stands out in out of 30 or if you include the bench, you know, 40 whatever.
46.
46 people. He just stands out head and shoulders.
Yes.
Literally and metaphorically.
Yeah. And the other one in that game, I know Frank Halai scored two tries, but Elliot Daly. Daly, the line he cut and the acceleration for that try, and then just the pace for Halai's second try, it's absolutely superb. Looking really, really good.
Yeah, and again, a lot of people are going, oh, you know, a lot of people are saying now, and we would echo it, Elliot Daly involved in the international setup. He could have been, if you, Jonathan Joseph drops out, you've got someone who plays exactly the same kind of way.
Exactly.
But go back to before the World Cup and listen to our podcast and hear us saying that again and again and again.
Because he was, astonishingly, he was one of the very first players dropped from the England 52 or 54, whatever
it
was.
Yeah, we don't need this guy. What?
Yeah.
What were they watching? We'll keep Sam Burgess. We don't need this guy.
It just seems more and more absurd, doesn't it?
Yep.
And I'll tell you who impressed me. Who's another player who could be on the radar for England from Wasps? Matt Mullen.
And Matt Mullen's brilliant.
Not just his scrimmaging. The thing that stood out most for me in this game was his handling. He was acting as a first receiver frequently, and his handling was superb.
Hmm. It's going to be really interesting to see what Eddie Jones does, because you say Matt Mullen is putting in some proper shifts.
Yeah.
And you look on the other side of the scrum, and I'd say another young Englishman that, again, we've been talking about for a long time as a future star, Henry Thomas, is looking the real deal.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know who Eddie Jones is going to pick against Scotland. It's so hard to pick.
It's a very tough job, because he's almost got a clean slate, because he's got no loyalty to anyone.
Yeah.
And including the Stormers.
Especially the Stormers. But there is huge depth in a number of positions, and a lot of the players in the World Cup who you would have said were guaranteed starters, a lot of them didn't cover themselves in glory.
No.
So it's fascinating. It'll be really interesting to see who he does start with.
I've heard a rumour that Tommy Taylor of Sale Sharks is going to Wasps. Mm. I can't reveal my source on that one. But
Tommy Taylor?
Not Tommy Taylor. I can't reveal my source on that one. But that
who would they?
Because Ashley Johnson's been playing at hooker for them. And what's it, Festucha is pushing on.
Shervington.
No, yeah, so Tommy Taylor is like a future England hooker as well, I think.
Yeah.
He's such a quality player.
He was involved in the England 15 game against the Barbarians at the end of May, wasn't he? He was one of, like, that was just used for...
He's like a 21st century all-action, back-row style hooker.
A bigger version of Harry Thacker.
Like a Dave Ward kind of hooker.
Yeah.
But who can actually throw in.
Wow, imagine that.
Have you seen the sad news about Christian Wade this week?
No. Nope. Oh,
3 months, is it?
3 months foot injury.
Oh, no.
I mean, talking about Wasp players who'd be in with a shout for England, you'd sort of think the way he's been playing, he'd be a shoo-in at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd expect him to be in that squad.
What kind of foot injury is it for 3 months?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, unfortunately.
Yeah. Getting a new foot or something, I don't know.
Foot transplant.
Oh, that's such a shame. He was... I would happily...
They're just waiting for someone to donate a foot.
Sorry, Christian, we've not got any size 8s. We've only got size 11s. You can have one size 11.
I would have
size 8.
I would happily have Christian Wade's feet sewn onto my legs. I look really weird in, like, flip-flops, but I'd be fast.
Yeah, the feet are the ones that make you quick, Jay. That's they're the bits that make you quick. So, looking really impressive, though. On the flip side, London Irish, no points, bottom of the table.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that first half, they had very, very little ball, defended manfully, but only went in 3 points down. And I thought they had a real chance, but just not strong enough over the 80 minutes.
Irish will get stronger as the season goes on. And I've always said this like 8 times, but I do truly believe that. I think they've got a good coaching setup. They've signed not relatively good players. They've signed good players. It's not a bad squad by any means. It's just not as strong as the Wasps and the Baths. In fact, for them now, they've just got to make sure that they beat Newcastle.
Do you know what? I think they just looked, you know, just lacking a bit in second row. Sheriff and Simons. You need a big brute enforcer type, really hard-working, to come back.
Yeah.
So if they can get someone like that back from injury, who's had a shoulder operation.
But
Nick Rouse, I think his name is.
You'd make a world of difference.
Yeah, he would. All the difference.
Well, you know, let's look at the correlation. Since he's been out at the start of the season, they've not won a single game.
Yeah.
It's not an accident.
If you're new listening to the podcast, he's my brother. So I was better than him at rugby when I was younger. that's a fact.
Let it go.
That is a fact.
You'll be happier if you let it go.
But they have got a very impressive young player at inside centre, Johnny Williams, who scored two tries, 19-year-old.
19,
6'2", 105 kg.
Crikey.
And scored two tries.
The shape of young players now is frightening. You look at Nick Orterak. Oh. And
the suspiciously large Nick Orterak.
I know, he looks like, we're not accusing him of it, but if you had to predict, if you had to say one person in the Premiership, and I believe they're all clean, one person in the Premiership is juicing, who do you predict it is? I'd guess Nick Orterak.
Yeah, I could line them up and say, yeah, you and you, we need some tests.
He's just in ridiculous shape. But then you get these 19-year-old lads just physically stepping up to the challenge.
But
it's unreal.
I mean, like, even in RGC... There's a quick mention for you. They've got some lads under contract there on the, I think, like Welsh Academy lads, and they are in the gym at 7 o'clock every morning. So, you know, with that kind of dedication, it's not that surprising we're getting the sizes that we are.
If they've got the right weights program, the right nutrition, they're 18, 19 years old, so their testosterone is through the roof anyway. They can put on,
especially if you listen to last week's podcast, especially
the
Worcester Academy players staying in that room with free Wi-Fi and relaxation rooms.
They can put on weight.
Someone sent
very
some very, very funny tweets about the Worcester relaxation house, which I will not be rereading. But if you want to follow our timeline, you can find them.
Yeah, some good tweets.
There were some very good tweets. On that one, sorry, I don't know how to skirt around this issue. It just popped into my head. I've mentioned on previous podcasts that I lived with in Bath when my brother and a good mate of ours, who I'll not name, were both playing, coming through the Bath 21s and into the first team or whatnot. And he would send his girlfriend away and wouldn't let her anywhere near the house for like 48 hours before a game. One of his big things before a game. He reckoned it ruined his edge.
That's interesting, right? Because my theory would be exactly the opposite, which is my wife winds me up so much that if I had two days away from her, I'd probably be fairly relaxed by the time that
mellow.
I got on the pitch. Yeah, be very mellow. Be complimenting people on, you know, their kit and how it fits. And No.
All right. Back to rugby. So we've talked about, again, if we do it like this, like in terms of teams that are impressing us the most, we've done Wasps, we've done Saracens and that game. Exeter Hart Quins was the game of the weekend in terms of the Premiership.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And Quins performance. I mean, they raced into a handy lead with some very nice tries. Nick Evans and Danny Kerr looking really good. And Mike Brown. I mean, they've signed very intelligently. They've got their scrum functioning.
Well, finally. We've been telling them for a couple of years, sort your front five
have
out, Connor. Come on.
Functioning, because I think Adam Jones is a terrible signing.
He wasn't playing, though. Adam Jones.
Your man Sinclair was back in.
Yeah.
Have you seen the video of Adam Jones against Montpellier?
Yes.
Having a torrid time against a Georgian tight head. Georgian loose head. He got... he was all over the place. But no... Sinclair was in, and their scrum was very impressive.
Here's one, right? So the Quins Exeter game, one interesting matchup with Chris Robshaw wearing six. He was up against Dave Ewers, Big Dave. And if you were picking the England team, JB, Big Dave would have been your six for the last
100%.
2 years, and he would be now. Robshaw played really well, and I would say at Sandy Park, Robshaw outplayed Dave Ewers.
Well, there's different things, I guess. I mean, Robshaw will outplay Dave Ewers if you're looking for, you know, a player that does what Robshaw does. But he can't carry like Dave Ewers can. And it depends
no.
on what sort of game
no,
you're
that's fair.
He's not as good a carrier.
But soon enough, his work rate...
His all-round
exactly,
game.
Yeah. His work rate. Soon enough, the ball carrying, if you have Nathan Hughes at number 8 with Billy Vunipola coming off the bench...
Oh, I'd,
eventually,
I'd love,
I would have those two with Rob Shaw.
Really?
Those two, Nathan Hughes and Billy Vunipola are in the top 10 for turnovers in the Premiership last season.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just spread your turnovers around the back row.
Hang on, hasn't it, a team mentality rather than just having one man.
Hasn't this been tried before, though?
With?
Didn't Stuart Lancaster say the same thing? Like, we'll just spread the responsibility out throughout the team.
Yeah, but you need coaches who actually tell, well, direct them how to do it rather than just saying it and then engendering the culture.
I see. Japan
had Michael Leitch as their seven, let's not forget, in the team that beat South Africa under Eddie Jones's stewardship.
And he's no fetcher of a seven.
No.
Yeah, I'd go with, who would I go with? I'd go with Big Dave Ewers, I'd go with Billy, and I would go with Nathan Hughes.
One of the biggest back rows ever.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd do. Carry. And then I'd just have a bunch of sprinters in
there. If Nathan Hughes was available now, I'd put him in the back row. I'd put Rob Shaw in the back row.
Bearing in mind that Rob Shaw can't get in the seven shirt for Quinns, it'd have to be Dave Ward.
Sorry, yes, Dave Ward.
Dave Ward,
obviously, yeah, of course. But a fantastic game.
Yeah, and it's testament to the quality of that Exeter side that they did manage to come back and take the game, although there was the kick right at the last minute that Tim Sweel missed that could have won the game.
Yeah, that's going to the Sharks, is it?
It's South African lad, yeah.
He's quite a good player, actually.
I reckon we do the rest of the games because we've still got Bath Leicester.
Yeah.
Still got Sale Newcastle to do. And we've got some games from the Pro 12.
And we've got Northampton-Gloucester.
And we've got Northampton-Gloucester. And we've got some games from the Pro 12. And we've got a really interesting matchup in France.
Yes.
One for sure.
There was a few, but yeah.
But I believe, Phil, you have prepared a quiz.
I have to.
Wow, we've not had a quiz for ages.
We haven't had a quiz since before the World Cup.
It's been a while. Have we even had a quiz in the dungeon?
No, we haven't.
We've never had a quiz since our move to the rugby dungeon.
Wow.
What is the quiz, Phil? Oh, there we go. There's the music. I'll just plug the lead in. Actually, I can just have it in the background here.
There you go. Fine.
Come on then, Phil.
Fine. Just a standard, nice, normal. And the first question was going to be, which country does Leicester Tigers utility forward Mike Williams come from?
Zimbabwe.
But we've already answered it in this question.
And JB would have got it wrong, and Tim, you would have got it correct.
I would have got it right, actually, but I just thought South Africa would be easy for the listeners to understand.
Sure.
By the way, worst debut ever from Dave Denton on for seven minutes. Yellow card. Horrible. Speaking of other Zimbabwean back rows. Well, sorry, Scottish.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, good point. So Dave, now we've got Dave Denton, Williams, Pocock.
Big Dave Ewers, Pocock.
And Dave Ewers.
Yeah.
And I was going to say Jack Berger, but he's not.
No.
Anyway,
no.
Go on then, Phil.
Okay, first question. Who was the top try scorer in this year's Rugby World Cup?
All right, I've got an answer.
Have you got pen and paper here?
I have got a pen, yep.
And some paper. Very good.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll go through all the questions, write them down, and then run through the answer.
Okay.
Question number two.
Okay.
Which England rugby league player signed for Championship Rugby League club Leash Centurions?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This week,
which rugby league
player is an England international, current England international, has signed for Lee Centurions this week?
Rugby Union.
Nope.
So it's a total league question.
It's total league question, but it's been in the news quite a lot this week.
Rugby's rugby.
It's a big step down.
All right.
Well, it's not that big a step down. Lee Centurions are all right. They play international games there. They're pushing for a franchise.
They are pushing for a franchise. Question three.
Yeah.
Four Bristol rugby players played in the 2015 Rugby World Cup.
Uh-huh.
Who are they?
Which World Cup?
This year's.
Oh, this year's, sorry. Okay.
So they're in the current Bristol squad. They had four players, 1 point for each.
God, that's tough. That's really tough.
Okay, next question.
Yeah.
The BBC have announced their nominees for the Overseas Sports Personality of the Year this year. And there's one rugby player on the shortlist of six. Who is it?
Total guess. Okay.
Next question. The Bath versus Toulon game that was cancelled 2 weeks ago has been rescheduled for the weekend of the 8th to the 10th of January. Who were Bath supposed to be playing that weekend?
Okay.
Do you know that, Jay?
Yeah.
It's been, it's been in the news this week.
Have you been living under a rock this week, Tim?
I've been doing my first radio shows last week since Chris Moyles nicked my job.
Where?
On the Bauer Network, which is...
Really?
They own loads of stations in the north of England, Scotland and Northern Ireland. I was just doing a couple of network shows. I was covering for Paddy McGuinness. Now it is.
At least you can be confident that you're funnier than him.
Wouldn't mind being a penny behind him. Anyway, go on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I can see Jay's answers here. Tim, we got an answer for everything?
Yep.
No more time?
No, just go for it. Top try scorer in the World Cup.
Top try scorer.
I guessed DTH Matt van der Merwe.
Oh, good guess.
A point for JB.
What did you say?
Surveyor.
Julian Surveyor.
Oh, did he get more than DTH? Yeah, I know DTH scored in every pool game, didn't he?
Yeah, but he only got four tries.
But he only got four tries.
Yeah, like Surveyor, didn't he get a hat-trick against France?
Balls. Oh, yeah. I am getting taken down.
So 1 point for JB. Question two. England Rugby League.
I didn't see the story at all. I don't look at Rugby League stories. I just guessed Jamie Peacock.
Oh, good guess, but you're completely wrong. Is it Rangi Chase?
It was Rangi Chase. 2 points for JB.
Right, Bristol Rugby Squad. Take it in turns. I went with Jack Lamb.
Correct.
I've got Lamb.
David Lemmy.
Oh, very good.
He didn't make the squad.
What's the name of the prop? The Samoan prop for Bath?
Perenisi?
Perenisi. I put P prop.
Oh, that
P for prop.
That'll get you some points.
1 point for JB.
2 points for JB.
One more point for JB.
Thank you. Matt Morgan.
And Matthew Morgan.
Which I didn't put down.
And you're missing one player.
Benvenuti.
Benvenuti.
Well done.
Right. I didn't write it down, but I just remembered it. So I'm having that point.
I will give you the point for that, Tim.
All right, thank you,
Which
Phil.
Makes it 5-2 to JB.
Yeah, I'm going down.
Okay. Overseas Sports Personality of the Year.
Well, that's I assumed it was going to be Dean Kada or Richie McCaw, and I went with Richie.
I go with Richie.
And you both got it wrong because it was it was Carter.
Dean Kada.
It was Dean Kada. Yeah. Bath Toulon game that was cancelled.
Sale.
London Irish.
It was Sale.
Oh my word.
6-2. We finish with a win for JB.
Finally.
Back to the rugby then. And as we just finished with the top 14 there, Clermont got absolutely pommeled by Toulon.
At home,
which never happens.
I think it's one of their biggest home losses in the last 30 years. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was huge.
And there was a certain player not involved in that Toulon team that hammered Clermont. Quade Cooper,
after his horrendous performance against Wasps last weekend, completely dropped from the 23, with Gitto coming back and Gitto pulling the strings. And also, so insult to injury, not only was he dropped from the 23 completely, they signed Francois Tranduc this week for next season.
Do you know what else as well? I think it was Bougelad came out and said, we are actively seeking a world-class tight head prop because we're disappointed with Matt Stevens.
I mean, really?
Mm.
I mean...
Oh, well, I was amazed that they made the signing in the first place, to be fair.
Matt Stevens wanted an easy life going back to South Africa so he could eat steak, drink brandy.
Yeah.
Chill in the sun all day.
Wrestle.
Yeah, a bit of wrestling, a bit of BJJ. And he somehow found himself playing for Toulon. Trying to fill Carl Heyman's boots, which Carl Heymans as one of the best tight ends who's ever played the game is not going to be easy.
And it's going to finish in the same way David Moyes trying to fill Sir Alex Ferguson's boots as well.
Yeah.
When you try and step into the boots of a legend, it rarely goes well.
Yes.
I'm still shocked when I see Matt Stevens on the team sheet for too long. It doesn't seem right.
I know.
Now, the one thing I did like about this game is it's nice to see that... Dylan Armitage is as widely disliked in France as he probably is in England. They hate him.
They were booing him every... The 30 seconds in he touches a ball, the whole stadium erupts in boos. But that probably just spurred him on because he scored a good try. He was constantly threatening with balls.
He's the sort of guy that loves that, doesn't he?
He does. He can tell you he sort of relishes it.
It fuels him, doesn't it? But Toulon were... They were mightily impressive.
It appears that defeat at Wasps is a bit of a wake-up call. It was a very different Toulon side that played. So watch out when Europe returns in a couple of weeks' time. Bath stuttered at Welford Road.
They are nowhere near as good as their team sheet suggests that they should be. I thought this was one of the most inept performances by a Bath team I've seen for maybe 12 months.
I think inept's quite strong.
Go on.
I don't know. Well, I thought they actually did a brilliant job in the first half.
Mm-hmm. When the conditions were good.
Now, Matawalu was so distressed by the goings-on during the game, Stuart Hooper had to hug him at one point. I don't know if you saw this. Stuart Hooper actually came round and hugged little Matawalu because he was losing his head. Mm-hmm. It was just awful. The other thing is, Premier Rugby, or whoever's in charge of these games, why were they wearing those kits? It was a real, real clash. And Leicester's kit, it's the worst kit. It's not just the worst kit in the Premiership now. It's the worst kit I've ever seen.
That is strong.
No, it is.
I think Northampton's powder blue away kit is worse.
Powder blue is at least a nice colour, and it at least is a block colour. This... The way it fades.
If a Leicester player stands sideways looking at you one way, you think it's an all green shirt.
Yeah.
They stand looking the other way, it looks like it's an all hoop shirt. And when they stand looking at you straight on, it just looks
vile.
Horrible.
Vile. Whoever has wanted, I'm not sure if I wanted a full block colour or some hoop, so we'll just fade it in and out. And Bath aren't the Bath of last year, not by a long shot.
No.
I can't really say what's wrong with them either. They're just not clicking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what? I think it might be Matawalu. I don't know if what Bath don't need is they look better with Chris Cook in the team.
They look better Matawalu. With Pete Stringer in the team.
And Pete Stringer.
Yeah,
like someone who will just get the ball away and let George Ford release the players. Matawalu's great, he's got brilliant skills and stuff, but he's a snipey kind of nine. Yeah. He's not you just want a nine with brilliant service.
And he was losing his head.
I like Alex Sanderson's comment on BT Sport when he said it's bad news when your scrum half, his offloads are more than his passes in the game. His offload stat is higher than
right?
his passes stat
really?
For the game.
This is a long season and it will click for Bath.
Did anyone watch the Northampton-Gloucester game?
I've seen the highlights.
Yeah.
And the highlights? Were there any?
They're not pretty.
No, ugly.
There was
a few really horrible... just on the scoreboard alone, there's a few... This weekend was just a few horrible-looking matches.
Yeah, the only positive I can really say about Gloucester is they're very good defensively now. They look very, very solid. And they're really good at slowing down opposition ball. Both Northampton and Gloucester... I don't know if it's because the referee let them get away with it, but every ruck took an eternity to actually finish.
Friday was a particularly ugly night when you look at the scores, because Northampton was 15-3, and the less time spent on that one, the better talking about, because there was very little to talk about positively. Leinster 8, Ulster 3.
Ugh.
Ugh. Glasgow 13, Benetton Treviso 6.
Ugh. At least the Edinburgh.
What's this for? Pro 12.
Pro 12 time, isn't it?
Jay.
Should I turn it off? Was it Dragons who were down to like men?
12 men at one point, I think they were down to.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Because WP Nell, he scored a try and then saw off two loose heads. He had two loose heads sent to the bin.
Really?
One after the other, yeah. Very impressive.
It's like a gladiator. Next!
Yeah. It gets to the point, if you're that good, when you disadvantage yourself. Because it goes uncontested scrimmaging.
Yeah. Because I feigned injury once against Rochdale in a cup game.
I can't believe you've told this story before, and that is just an outrageous thing to do.
Such a cheater.
Because we were down to like 13 men or something. We were defending for our lives in a cup final. 1 minute left. I was propping that day, and my coach came along and goes, "Stay down, stay down." So I stayed down. And then we lost an extra man, and then we conceded the try.
I'm glad you lost. I'm glad the end of that story is you lost.
The moral of the story is...
What comes around goes around.
That would have been... Just think, if you'd have been telling that story now, yeah, I won a cup final once. We won it, really, because we cheated.
I also had a cup final.
Neil tells that story.
I suppose that's true.
I was also in a cup final against Vale of Loon at Sedgley Park. And my coach humiliated me in the change rooms by saying, "And our replacements on the bench are for front row, this guy, this guy, this guy. Our number one replacement for the back row is such and such, and our backup replacement is JB." And everyone just started laughing. I was like, "How? This is awful." And then when I did get on, I scored a try in the last. I came on for 1 minute and scored one try.
So if you'd have been on for the full 80,
correct, Phil? Correct.
Bloody hell.
And then I got into trouble with the club because I threw my my loser's shield into a hedge.
Well, we should go, talking of heroic endings to matches, JB, we should talk about the other All-Irish match in the Pro 12. What a finish from Connacht. Now, we mentioned this stash in a previous podcast. We were like, I don't know if that Green Lantern kit of Connacht's is for real. It is for real, and they wore it.
Did they?
All of the European BLK teams have got this superhero stash because BLK famously did the NRL superhero stash.
Yeah.
Why? Is it for charity?
The BLK must have paid Marvel
a lot of cash
and they're getting the most out of it.
And they've got the kits left over and they said rebadge it. Shove a Connacht badge on that one and get them out there. So they wore their Green Hornet style.
How weird.
Style superhero stuff. And it was a superhero finish. That last try was amazing.
Now, I've heard that this is... What, the first win at Towan Park for Connacht in like 30-something years?
Yeah, since 1986. It's the first win there since 1986.
Wow.
And the way that they won it was incredible.
The way they won it, if you see the full highlights of the game or the full game, Connacht were the better team and they were winning. And Munster, with 15 minutes to go, got one of the worst penalty tries I've ever seen. It was an appalling decision. It was they made a break. The man draws the fullback and passes, and the man receiving the pass was tackled off the ball without the ball. And it was a yellow card and a penalty try because he said a try probably would have been scored. But there was three Connacht defenders all closing in on him. Even if it wasn't an early tackle, he wouldn't have scored the try. Mm. So the yellow card, yes. The penalty try, no. So Connacht, when they scored that try, the brilliant try with the offload from Robbie Henshaw to Bundy Aki.
If you get the chance, go and have a look at the try. It was a beautiful bit of skill. It was so good.
And a deserved win.
Yeah.
Someone showed me a picture yesterday of a match in Samoa. And when you get yellow carded, you actually have to stand in a bin. I think one of the Australian lads, I think, at the club.
Love it. Love that. Other Premiership games we've not talked about then? We haven't talked about Sale Newcastle.
This wasn't pretty again.
No.
But Newcastle 2 points.
Yeah.
And I think there's some green shoots here for Newcastle. The two positives they should take out of this: they scored two tries.
Two tries to nil.
Yeah, both of them were through their pack. And the Sale pack, particularly at home, they are a dangerous force. So for Newcastle to put two tries, that bodes well going into the worst conditions, like this horrendously wet period we're going to have from maybe a month ago until a month from the end of the season.
Yep.
So that's good for them. The other positive is Juan Pablo Sacchino coming back, because he does make a difference.
Mm. Yeah, this is a very Sale-like.
Mark Wilson back as well. He makes a huge difference.
Yes.
Wilson and Welsh as the two flankers.
Good back row, actually.
Good back row.
This is such a Sale result, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't matter who Sale play, they're not going to concede more than 10 points and they're probably not going to score more than 12. That kind of thing. You'd expect them to do something like this against Newcastle, and then next time they play someone at home like Saracens, they might even beat them.
Well, they beat Northampton the other week fairly comfortably. Yeah. Not that Northampton are playing particularly well this year.
Not a very glamorous match.
Oh, the conditions look
awful. I think it is. You've got names like Avion Lewis-Roberts.
No, he wasn't in the squad.
I think he was.
He was.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was on the bench. On the bench. Lewis Robertson, Mujati, the two props on the bench.
Mujati must just look across at his... Mujati in ridiculous bodybuilder shape. Do they look across at Evian Lewis Roberts?
I was going to say, do they work out together? Do they have the same schedule?
I saw a video of someone.
I bet Evian Lewis Roberts can stack sheep much faster than Brian Jaws. He's got like real man strength.
I saw a video of someone on our Facebook page tweeted us a video from Brian Mujati, where he was talking about his gym session and the Sale gym sessions, and then he goes home and does his own workout because he doesn't think the Sale sessions are up to much.
Tell you what, that's got to go down well with the conditioning strength, strength and conditioning coach.
Look at Evian Lewis Roberts!
Yeah. Look at Brian Mujati, like, you know, who's doing his own workout.
He's a monster scrimmager.
No, I'm sorry, if you were the... That would be the worst thing on your CV. If you were going for a job interview and you were the Sale strength and conditioning coach or nutritionist or whatever... And you have difficult questions. The difficult question would be, tell me about Evian Lewis Roberts.
Big A's.
How do you explain Evian Lewis Roberts?
Yes, maybe you've got a point there. But he's one hell of a scrimmager. He's a good scrimmager. How dare you?
He's all right.
He's better than Brian Mujati.
He's less than... He's not as good a scrimmager as a man of 23 stone should be.
That's a good point. Mind you, a man of 23 stone, you're unlikely to be good at many things. You know.
There's a reason why the biggest mammal on Earth, or the biggest animal on Earth, is in the sea, where gravity doesn't act in the same way, because gravity acts on these big beasts, elephants, Evian Lewis Roberts.
He's a big slice.
It's just science. Are we at the point where we're talking about next week then?
Yep.
I guess so.
I guess we are.
Unless there's anything else.
I don't think there's...
Have we spoke about Sam Burgess
yet? Oh, my word! I was just about to say... I was going to say at the end of the podcast, it just flashed into my head then. I thought, we've had a podcast, we haven't mentioned Big Sam, Slamming Sam.
The news keeps coming.
Oh, yeah, come on, let's get that lead back in there, JB. We've mentioned Slamming Sam. We're going to have to play the little clip of Slamming Sam with Haskell.
Well, Haskell, referring to Cowhead.
Absolute banter flying around already. Lads.
And the banter for Sam Burgess is that he doesn't have a home in rugby league at the moment.
Well, I think he does now, doesn't he? I think they've signed him now.
Yeah, there's talk of Chris Grevesmoel. Jay, you're good at pronunciation.
Grevesmoel?
So I'm sure you're familiar with the story, but if you're not, Sam Burgess, there's a salary cap in force in rugby league, and Sam Burgess's reported wages put the South Sydney Rabbitohs over the salary cap, so until they released enough funds in their salary cap, they weren't able to officially sign him onto their roster, which means that other players are going to lose their job as a result. It's basically, I know this, Chris Moyles got signed to host the breakfast show and he nicked my job. So yeah. I know what that feels like. I know how Grev is feeling.
But now you're working for BT Sport, so maybe Chris Grevesmoel will find something even better. Maybe he'll go to Bath.
Yes.
The weird thing about this is once you've won the title with him, I think that's our first title in God knows how long. Once you've won, I don't know, the Man of Steel equivalent, you know, and Player of the Year and all the rest of it and had the fairy tale send off, why go back? You can't achieve any more there. You know, he's destined to fail.
Mm. Or he could just win it every single year going forward for the end of his career.
It would be difficult.
It would be very difficult to do that, especially if they're having to sack players left, right and centre to get him in there.
What do you reckon the reaction of the Bath guys was when that news was circulating around? They would have had a bit of banter in the changing room, wouldn't they?
Straight onto Twitter looking to see what Carl Ferns had said. See if there's any like just smiley faces on there.
Well, off the back of you sort of mentioning the I wonder what Carl Ferns' reaction, you tweeted out something about and you mentioned Carl Ferns. Carl Ferns followed us straight back.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. One of your favourite players, the big silverback Carl Ferns, exactly. is following us at Rugby Podcast.
He's got to come back to England soon.
Oh, I miss him.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's still very young as well. Yeah. He's like 27, 28.
Yeah, 27, 28. He'll be on very good money at Lyon.
So what are next week's games then?
Come on then, Phil. We've got one more week of domestic and then it's European rugby.
God, it's thick and fast at the moment.
It is.
Okay, so this coming weekend, Friday the 4th of December, Gloucester host Sale Sharks. This
is going to be 6-9 or something.
Yeah, this will not be pretty.
Gloucester will win in ugly rugby.
Yeah,
we'll have to talk summer rugby again. It's never going to happen. But
we will not talk summer rugby ever.
I'd like to see some summer rugby.
I wouldn't.
Why?
No, it was summer rugby. It starts starting February, finishing October. Because just do rugby league.
It's this miserable period now, which really brings up the current. That's how you know rugby people are good people, because they've gone through this. I don't want the easy option of just playing summer rugby. Look, we played against Preston on the weekend, and the conditions were horrific. We had a winger, right, who came off 20 minutes before the end of the game, claiming he had hypothermia.
There's nothing wrong with that, Jay. It happens to the best of us.
I bought two jugs of beer for the boys straight after the game, and they were all so cold they refused beer.
Wow.
I remember getting in from a freezing cold game, and there's like a really hot jug of tea.
Yeah, that was so good.
On the physio table, like, oh yes, warm me up with some hot tea.
Yeah, we were talking about that too. The tradition in the northwest of having big things of tea.
It doesn't happen in the south. No, no. When I played at Newbury or anything, never did that. But Manchester, Broughton Park,
big cups of tea straight after.
Massive pots of tea. You can help yourself to. Yeah. Sweet tea as well,
yeah,
with sugar.
And I never have
sugar in my tea apart from after a game of rugby.
Yeah, you need it though. Replace the lost carbs.
Oh yeah,
that. Recovery term.
Yeah, but I mean that's why you don't want summer rugby, because you won't have as good a people.
Bring out the soft people.
Exactly.
Well, Christian Wade has timed this injury just right.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He has.
The kind of injury I used to get as soon as it got dropped below about 5 degrees and is pouring with rain every weekend. Oh, my shoulder's hurting a little bit. Yeah, ankle's bad.
I'll have a couple of months in the gym.
Do you know?
See you in February. And we're going a narrow, ugly win by Gloucester.
Yes. Then Quinns host London Irish.
Go on, Tim.
Quinns.
Quinns.
Yeah, agreed.
Then
that's real trouble. That'll be 6-0-6. That will be if they do lose.
Yeah.
They're 0-5.
Yeah, and I think they will do away at Quinns. Then Worcester host Leicester.
Manu's old club versus Manu's new club.
Yeah, it'll be a Leicester win, but not by much.
Yeah,
I think Worcester will be much more competitive.
The Manu Bowl,
yes,
will be won by Leicester away.
Then this is one to kick start their seasons. Live on BT Sport at 3:15.
I'm working this one.
Are you?
Yeah.
Mm. Good one to
at
work.
At Bath.
Bath versus Northampton.
It's a nice drive for you.
Northampton.
Both teams are undercooked so far this season. Both teams, we expected much, much more.
There's so many good storylines on this one, isn't there? So many good angles and stories. Like you say, two giants underperforming.
Yeah.
And this, whoever comes out on top of this one, it'll make a big difference.
It will do. It will do. Yeah.
I think Northampton must be slight favourites for this.
Away at the Wreck.
Yeah, I do.
Even at the Wreck.
I think the factor of the Wreck, just like we saw the factor of Welford Road, I think the Wreck will do the difference, and they'll get Atwood back into the row.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, so the 5:30 game.
So how do we see that? This is a great doubleheader of games, though.
Yeah, both live on BT Sport.
Absolutely brilliant.
So, I think Bath at home. Have that edge.
I'm looking forward to seeing, again, you know, you've got Kieran Brooks and Henry Thomas, two young potential England tight heads.
Orterak and Waller.
Orterak and Waller on the loose heads.
Webber or Batty against Haywood or Hartley if he comes back fit. It's all England front rows.
Really interesting.
And then Patterson v Atwood in the second row.
No, is Laws injured still?
Laws is injured. Someone was telling me...
I've heard bad things about this.
Yeah, there's potential very serious shoulder issues with Courtney Laws.
No! Because last season he said...
I chose the word tackle.
That's quite a good impression. I like that.
Because I keep hurting my shoulder. So
yeah. I mean, it's all right. If you're flying into 10.5-stone Jules Plisson French scrum half slash flyer...
That's what he does.
Then it's fine. But if you're flying into anyone bigger than that... It could cause an issue. So
I see Bath winning this one.
Bath just...
You'd say that's the grit, spit and sawdust matchup, forward battle, and then Exeter Wasps, or Wasps Exeter.
Expect fireworks.
Woo!
Yeah.
And both the teams are going to be hammering each other with their huge ball carriers.
Yeah.
And then it's out to the backs. And those Wasps backs are irresistible.
Wasps at home, I think. They're going for a lot of home... wins.
We are going for home wins.
Apart from Leicester at Worcester.
Yeah. If Wasps are serious about winning the whole thing, they have to win this.
Oh, yeah.
But then Wasps against Bath next week. Sorry, week after. Wow.
And the week after.
Yeah.
And I mean, yes! Bath. But you lose Eastman, who was injured today. They've lost JJ. You know, they could be in a real tough situation, particularly if they've got a play like they did earlier on, where they had Priestland and Ford on the field at the same time. Nathan Hughes would love to run down the channel guarded by Ford and Priestland.
Yes.
Mm. Well, that would be a gateway, not a channel.
Yeah.
That'd be like the mall of channels. Just have a Nathan Hughes procession right down the middle of it.
clapping him over the try line.
Ticker tape going everywhere.
Yeah.
Right, final game of the weekend on Sunday.
In the Premiership.
We don't need to talk for very long about this. It is Newcastle hosting Saracens.
Good luck, Newcastle.
Yeah, Saracens.
Well, at least Saracens aren't used. Won't be used to the plastic pitch up in Newcastle. Oh, hell no, they will. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know which way this is going to go.
Saracens by at least 15.
Yeah.
Then should we go over the Pro 12?
Yes.
No.
Cardiff host Connacht.
Ooh, that's actually quite interesting.
Connacht for me. Cardiff aren't doing particularly well this year. And
I think Connacht are going to end up in a lot of trouble.
Cardiff?
No, Connacht.
Connacht, why?
Well,
Pat Lam is doing things.
Yeah, but I think it's like, do you know when you're in a classroom and there's one child that takes their work too seriously and the others ostracise them? I think this is Connacht. I think they actually take the Pro 12 seriously, and the other teams are gonna have eventually something to say.
You're making us look. Yeah, it's like the one mate of yours that does some massively grand kind of gesture for an engagement or something.
Exactly
and
right.
Then and then suddenly they up the stakes for everyone else around
on
them.
On an anniversary. yeah.
The Connacht thing is like when, you know, when you're training and you're doing like a one-on-one, like a wrestling drill one-on-one.
Yes.
And the two of you just want to go a little bit easy because you're both a bit sore from the weekend. No one wants to get shown up. And, no one
and,
to,
and
like,
you get paired with Stuart Hooper.
And Hooper takes it ultra seriously and like pins you five times in the first minute.
Yeah, there's going to be some serious words said in like Pro 12 headquarters about Connacht rugby winning. Specifically from the other Irish provinces, they will not be happy.
Yeah. Especially as Ulster are currently the bottom Irish province, which does not look good.
That does not look good.
So Connacht to win that?
Connacht to win. Then Ulster host Edinburgh. Both tied on 23 points in the Pro 12 currently.
I think Ulster win that.
But it was against Dragons.
Yeah.
So Ulster at home.
Treviso Scarlets. Scarlets.
Oh, yeah, great. Okay, move on.
Treviso put up a good fight
they
against
did.
Glasgow
they
this
did.
Weekend.
They did.
Now, this is an interesting one. Glasgow Leinster. That actually might be a good game. The problem I see with this is Glasgow are a little bit weak up front, and Leinster are still out of sorts, I think, from the World Cup.
There's a lot of teams. This World Cup's having a big impact.
Yeah, well, I suppose if you're in Southern Hemisphere, you're not doing anything now, are you, till I don't know when the Super Rugby kicks off. But we're straight into it, and it's really made a difference to the standard of the domestic rugby.
Next game, Zebre host Ospreys.
Now, good.
Zebre have actually put together a few good results. But, yeah, it's not an easy place to go to, Zebre, as Ulster found out last season.
Give me Ospreys.
The big yawn.
Yeah.
Give me Zebre.
Wow.
You mentalist. Are you going to put £10 on that? Because you'll get some good odds.
I might put £2 on it.
Okay.
Gambling's for mugs, Jay.
That's right.
And then, final game of the weekend.
You'd have got good odds on Tyson Fury.
Yeah, you would have.
I've not seen any of the fight.
It was a horrible fight. Don't bother.
Was it?
Just watch the version of Aerosmith that he sings at the end to the crowd. That's all I'd watch.
Mancunian world champion.
I know.
Mancunian gypsy world champion.
That is describing his
travelling heritage. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think that we were describing?
No, I was just saying in case anyone construed that as some sort of of offence.
Why would it be offensive?
His Twitter handle is currently Gypsy King. I don't think he'd take offence at that. Final game of the weekend, Dragons versus Munster. And I think Munster to bounce back. His Dragons are not doing particularly well.
No, they're not. Is that it?
That's it for me. George North has signed for another another 2 seasons.
I've got a theory on that, though.
Go on.
My theory on George North is that he's re-signed with Northampton, but he's also signed with Scarlets, but just got knocked out in between and doesn't remember.
Concussion.
It's actually going to be a legal dispute When Tonga Weir signed for Saracens and then stayed at Northampton.
Or when Charles Pietau signed for Ulster and never left Wasps.
No, that's not going to happen though, Jay.
It won't happen.
No, it won't.
And then I'm going to just map out for you how it's going to happen, okay?
Okay, go on.
The salary cap goes up. Pietau has signed his deal, okay? So the deal is signed.
Yeah.
Wasps know exactly how much it is to buy him out.
Yeah.
Pietau says, look, I love giving high fives to Christian Wade. That is now my favourite thing to do. He doesn't want to leave Wade. And therefore, because the salary cap goes up, Wasps have got all this spare cash sloshing about, and they get a contract that was signed a year ago. Done.
You're forgetting one thing.
Go on.
And that's that he loves... The one thing he loves more than high-fiving Christian Wade is spending time with God. With our Lord Jesus Christ, and Tommy Bowe and Andrew Trimble and the South African contingent, who are the same, so he is going to Ulster.
Yeah, I heard that Ruan Pienaar stayed there because he's a big deal in the church in Ulster.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. He's a big deal everywhere.
So there you go.
It'd be a big deal in the Tescos if you went there.
Right, at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review there. We're on the Acast app as well. And we'll see you next week. Well, we'll see you next time after... Well, you know what I'm trying to say. We'll see you next time. In a bit, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Later, JB.
Goodbye, Tim. Prestige. Worldwide. Prestige.
Worldwide. Investors? Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Possibly you!
So we got...